1 year, almost 4,000 students at the University of Colorado sought psychiatric help, according to an editorial report in Christianity Today. This was roughly one-third of the student body. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about sanity in a crazy world. Hello, this is Joe Cruz on the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Today we're going to answer some more questions that have come to our attention here at the Amazing Facts headquarters. Many of our listeners have been sending in serious Bible questions, and we've also been meeting many of these same questions and holding evangelistic crusades and radio rallies also. I'm sure that these may be the question that you also have entertained in your own mind at some time or another. So today we'll start another series of answering those questions as far as we can from God's Word. Now, friends, it's simply amazing how many times we can find a direct statement of the Bible to satisfy the doubts and queries that rise in human hearts. Now, if you'd like to send in one of your own personal Bible questions, we'd like to encourage you to do that. From time to time, we'll be inserting these question and answer broadcasts in the series of topics that are presented every day on our network of stations. But here's our first question today. What do you think is the cause for so much emotional and mental trouble in the world today? Well, now, friends, this is a question that's being raised by multitudes of people all over the world in this troubled age. And there's no doubt but what these emotional and mental problems are on a tremendous upsurge in every part of the world. The psychiatrist's offices are filled with people trying to get appointments, trying to understand their own frustrations and mixed-up feelings. Recently, I read that young people and children even are being treated for emotional difficulties on a scale never before known in this country. A special committee appointed by the mayor of New York City looked into the educational problems of the 1 million public school children in that great metropolis, and they came back with a report that over half the public school children in New York City needed specialized attention because of emotional disorders. In fact, I think it was 1.5 million of the children who were tested. Christianity Today magazine came up with a report some time ago that over 4,000 students of the University of Colorado sought counseling help during the year. Now, that was roughly one-third of the entire student body at the time. Now, friends, these facts bring into focus a tremendous problem that faces our modern world in trying to keep sane and balanced. And the question is, what has happened to trigger these terrible emotional disorders? Now, first of all, I would say the awful upheaval in moral standards has precipitated a very large part of it. All the demands for freedom and more rights on the part of young people certainly has not been for the strength and stability of their moral character. In fact, there's no doubt but what a lot of deterioration and dissolution of character has taken place under the impact of this relativism and this secular humanism that's so widely advocated today. When are we ever going to understand, friends, that unlimited freedom and license to break all moral restriction is going to bring only unhappiness to young men and women? Long, long ago, the wisest man who ever lived found out by experience that there's no peace in the indulgence of fleshly pleasure. Solomon had more of the material things of this world than any of our modern-day millionaires, and yet he finally conceded that the only thing really worthwhile was to serve God and keep His commandments. In Ecclesiastes 12:13, he said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." You know, our whole society is given over to a kind of orgiastic abandonment in which drugs, alcohol, demonic entertainment, and illicit sex form the staple of many people's social diet. Others vicariously participate in such immorality by watching it portrayed daily on the television screen. But instead of increasing their enjoyment by these activities, people are only heightening their despair by destroying their power to cope with the demands and tensions of life. Suicides, especially among the young people, are on the rise. A general sense of the meaninglessness of this life pervades all ranks of society. You know, friends, there's a deep, sneering cynicism that has settled in among the general population today, more and more of whom are joining in a kind of frenzied dance of death to celebrate the demise of civilization. Having turned away from the light and guidance of God's Word, mankind has lost all sense of purpose and direction. No new system of morality or psychological school of thought is able to fill that spiritual vacuum or stem the tide of moral pollution. Mindless revolt against all restraints and values has been the only result that we can see today. You know, a very interesting article appeared in the U.S. News and World Report news magazine. In an interview with Malcolm Muggeridge of England, who's very well known for his caustic observations about English life, he was asked whether the younger generation is in a state of revolt against the old values. And his answer was, not in the least. I think it's sheer degeneracy. I don't think those kids are rebelling at anything. They're just degenerate. It's the antics of an exhausted stock. Well, that was the observation of Malcolm Muggeridge about the young people in their rebellion. Well, it's a new way of expressing it, and the psychologists have steered far away from calling it this outright true title, of course. It just might be, though, that we ought to designate this rebellion as sin and disobedient to God's commandments rather than anything else. A text of the Bible seems to fit in very beautifully right at this point in Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Well, when we come right down to it, a violated conscience is one of the greatest causes of emotional fear and instability. One who has an assured sense of right doing is seldom afflicted by the teenage fears and insecurities that mark this 20th century. Now, Jesus had another way of describing it in Luke 26, or rather 21 in verse 26. He said, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, you know, friends, we've been reading a great deal about strange signs and sights in the skies. The unidentified flying objects of our age have caused many people to absolutely be terrified by the unknown. And you can be sure of one thing. We cannot predict what one day will bring forth. If a man has no faith or confidence in a higher power, he will likely be filled with terror at the prospects of tomorrow. The tensions and uncertainties of life without faith in God has created an unreasonable and unprecedented atmosphere of terrified expectancy. And then you add to that the speeding up of our way of living, and you have an additional cause for fear. According to a recent experiment, freeway drivers undergo more nervous strain than an astronaut in orbit. A man who had driven on a freeway for 3 years and seemed outwardly calm reached a heartbeat of 111 from his normal 79 as he entered heavy freeway traffic and applied the brake and had another driver cut out in front of him. Another driver's heartbeat reached 115. And yet, astronauts Glenn and Carpenter had heartbeats of from 80 to 90 and from 60 to 94 during most of their first flight. At the critical reentry time, Glenn's heart reached 134, but Carpenter's only 104, which was even less than the freeway driver's. Now, this all seems to indicate that modern man needs to slow down a little bit, friends, and take more time for his own thoughts and meditations. Certainly, he needs to take more time for God and his spiritual interests. Through prayer and Bible study and calm reliance upon the strength of God, much of the emotional fear could be entirely eliminated. The need for psychiatry would drop to a marginal minimum. Crime would be tremendously reduced. Divorce and home problems would be also practically eliminated. And perhaps these things will answer your question in part, at least. I hope so, anyway. We've talked about that question concerning the emotional problems of today. Well, the next question comes to us from a listener in the Baltimore area. And the question is this. What do you think about all the giveaway government projects to support those who won't work? Well, now, friends, let me make it very clear that I'm not a political speaker or commentator at all. I'm concerned only with the Bible and its message for our age. There are plenty of voices, no doubt, being raised in both condemnation and defense of what our government is doing with our tax money, And we could say a lot about it, but listen, the Bible does have a lot to say about the blessing and benefits of hard work. So I think I can answer this question without even getting political at all. It's a definite part of good religion, and I make no apologies for recommending it. Any project which discourages initiative and makes laziness and unemployment more profitable than employment can be nothing but a curse for anybody. Now, the book of Proverbs offers an abundance of wisdom on this subject. A few examples to consider are these, and I'm taking these now from, Proverbs 10, verse 4 says, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." And then Proverbs 13, 4, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." And Proverbs 14, 23, "And all labor there is profit. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread." Proverbs 12, 11 also. Well, you can see, friends, there's a legitimate place for society to assist people who have illness or because of age or debility can't help themselves. But welfare programs that support able-bodied idlers who refuse to work are only aiding in the demoralization and breakdown of our society. We're admonished in the New Testament that if any would not work, neither should he eat. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. I personally feel that modern young people desperately need to learn the benefits of effort, self-reliance, and hard work. Our founding fathers made little use of that word security. Their conversations were sprinkled with such words as courage, conquest, and determinations. Come drought or flood, they stuck it out or bailed out. They didn't bother Washington about it either. They rolled up their sleeves and went to work. When God made the oyster, he gave it real security. He gave it a hard shell for protection. And all it has to do when hungry is to open it. But when God made the eagle, he gave it great wings and told it to build its own nest. And the eagle did, on the highest mountains where the enemy would not molest eaglets. For food, it flies through rain, sleet, and storm. I'm glad, friends, that the eagle and not the oyster is a symbol of America, aren't you? The parable is told of a man who died and found himself in a region of fabulous abundance. His slightest wish was instantly granted by the many servants. At last, though, he became bored and asked for some work to do, some problems to help solve. His host informed him that he was living in a region where there were no problems and there was no work to do. "What?" he cried. "No problems, no work? I wish I'd gone to hell instead of coming here." And the host replied, "Where do you think you are?" Well, it's a little story, friends, but it does illustrate one thing, that heaven is not going to be a place of inactivity. And we can find a great curse in that which does not challenge our physical and mental abilities. Thank God for work. Well, that's just about all the time we have for today, friends, and I want to thank our listeners for questions that have been sent in. We'll always welcome your inquiries and about God's answers to your concerns. Now, let me say a word in closing about amazing facts. Very soon, friends, a day is coming in which all perplexity is going to be resolved, and all of our deepest questions about life's mysteries are going to be authoritatively revealed and answered. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.